Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Good evening to those that are listening far and near. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd with the Fireside Chat. This is Tuesday, man. I am amazed that we are so far into this new year in the month of April. Only a few weeks out from entering May and then getting ready for Mother's Day. So it's just, you know, jumping on us real quick here. I'd like to welcome you tonight, especially those that are listening for the first time, my listening partners that are in Alaska, all over the United States, Ireland, and some people that have reached out to me from Ghana. You know, I'd like to welcome you all tonight to the Fireside Chat. Have an interesting topic tonight, discussion that I want to, you know, continue that I had a couple of weeks ago. Last Tuesday, I wasn't on, you know, had some things on my mind, and I had to really talk to the Lord about thinking through those. And so we're back on here tonight, and I surely appreciate those that are tuning in. If you could, just let's go through a quick word of prayer. Gracious God, Father in heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, Father. You've done so much, oh God, for me, and Lord, I'm really appreciative of it. Father, I pray, oh God, tonight that you encourage your people, Father, that you speak to them, oh Lord, beyond the realms of what we call the book or the volume of the book, Father, that you speak beyond that, Lord, and that God, you capture their spirit, their hearts, their minds, their intellect, Father. And God, that you direct them, Father, and that they follow where you are leading them. God, I thank you, O God, because if they do, O Lord, there's nothing but greatness to come. Father, so, Lord, you speak tonight, O God, and as we turn this entire program always over to you, Father, your results are the ones that shows up. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So their hearts, I'm just literally, I don't want to use the word excited, but I am contained. And so I have learned through my time of doing things that when God does something great, I do celebrate it, but I keep my feet on the ground. Because sometimes we can get beyond ourselves and reach into some areas of life and things just don't work out. And so because we've spoken so much about it that it sometimes it doesn't happen the way we think it's going to happen. And sometimes it just doesn't happen. And so, but tonight I want to address something that I spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And what I talked about a couple of weeks ago was don't stop dreaming. And in every night I do these, I get responses, and I never do these full responses. And sometimes you'll never hear me speak in reference to the response of the people in regards to this particular broadcast. And so what is interesting about it is that God's keep changing me, and I'm a student and I continue to learn. Before I go into this, I want to give you a little background. Oftentimes we have a dislike for some things, and so when we have a dislike for some things, then we don't engage them, sometimes primarily because we don't understand them, or because we have decided that this is not something I want to deal with and that I don't want to do, and so therefore we don't engage it. I have learned in my time that God keeps changing my mind about things. And you know, when he changes your mind about something, he's really not dealing with the people around you. He's dealing with you. So I don't want to project off what I believe God is dealing with me about onto anyone else. But I do want to share with you some things that was in my heart probably 15, 20 years ago. And it has been a battle for me to get to where I was about 8 years ago. And it's been a fight to get to where I am today, right? And so what I titled tonight as Dream Killer, that's my title, Dream Killer. And I preface it because we hear the euphemism or the colloquialism that there's greatness in all of us. You know, you hear motivational speakers, you hear pastors, you hear leaders of some type wanting to issue some type of motivation out to the people that are listening. And 9 times out of 10, if I'm trying to motivate people, and I want to be honest, every leader wants to motivate people because they really have a benefit behind them being motivated, okay? And so it's sometimes it's just not, and now I'm not talking about all leaders now, I want to preface this. Sometimes they know that if I motivate you to be churchy and to follow the church rules or to do the things as I explain them to you from a biblical context, I'm going to benefit from it, right? And so so there's motivation. Business leaders, business owners, CEOs bring motivational speakers into their company to motivate their sales force, to bring in more sales, to go out and sell the product, or to encourage the mindset of the people that are getting the work done in every business. There is no successful business out here with unmotivated people, okay? Because there are already instituted levels of motivation. People work for money because they have to pay their bills. People work to afford themselves a certain lifestyle. So there's a certain motivation for it, but they have to put up with some things in the process of working for other people or of sitting under certain leadership. They have to really kind of accept some things. And if you notice, when a person accepts things, they make excuses for it, whereas they would not accept those excuses from someone else, but because this individual has some type of position in their life or stature in their life, they're really accepting what this person says. And whether they agree with it or not, especially if they don't agree with it, they're accepting some things that this individual said, be it male or female, because of the level of control they have given to this person over their life. Okay? So, I really want to get you to understand where I'm coming from. When you actually have an admiration for someone, you kind of forget about you, because your admiration for that person allows you now to accept, to deal, or to gather with this individual, even though there's something about them that you don't like, but you're willing to give that a pass because you're getting something additional from that person. And so, I want to talk about the dream killer. You know, that was some years ago in my life, and I'm going to read this scripture here in a minute, and I want to show you something. There was some moments in my life years ago where I struggled to believe in myself, right? Now, I want to preface this. I didn't have a problem believing in God, but I had an issue believing what God wanted to do with me, okay? I didn't have a problem believing. Matter of fact, I believed in God. I just didn't believe in the ability that God had given me. And so, for that reason, I accepted a lot of things that I probably would not have accepted if I didn't have certain things in my life. For instance, you know, working for a certain company. You know, I accepted the amount of money that they were going to pay me, even though I knew I was worth more. And I even interviewed for supervisory level positions with this company, but it never materialized. And it seemed as though they were hiring people that had less experience, less knowledge, and less motivation. And so, which was interesting to me, because yet they would come and put out motivational speakers to try to motivate you to do certain things to bring up the proficiency in the company. But again, now, there are some things that are instituted that are self-motivating when you have family and when you have bills and things of that nature. You're motivated to go to work until your mind starts changing. I'm not saying your mind starts changing from going to work, but your mind starts changing about how you work, right? Now, you know, as I was talking to the Lord last week, and I didn't get on it, I didn't do anything. I kind of lapsed away because I wanted to hear what God was saying to me. You know, and I had encouraged people a couple of weeks ago, don't stop dreaming. You know, that was a topic. The dreams, don't stop dreaming. And we know that people kind of take the dreamers for credit, and they will say certain things about dreamers. They'll tell them that they have pipe dreams, and they try to keep them confined in a circle that the society has contained them to say what they can and cannot do. And sometimes you have people that don't believe in you. And it's not that they, well, let me say this. It's not that they don't believe in you. They just don't believe for you to go to the levels that you think you can, because you haven't met certain criteria that others have met. And yet there's always this anomaly in life where you have folks that didn't graduate from college but are billionaires. You have people that are never even, you know, thought about going to college but have written multiple books. You have folks that have never even been to school to work on cars with some of the greatest mechanics. Because of society, we put so many boundaries around people, we have not realized that we are putting a boundary around ourselves. Dream killer. One of the biggest dream killers in life, we all use it, and it is more than a colloquialism, it is more than a euphemism, it has become more than a stumbling block in our life. You know, I want to use tonight. And so we say it all the time. We just don't realize how difficult it is. And I just happened to be listening to Les Brown a couple of days ago, and so it brought this back up to me, you know. And the Lord kind of dealt with me about it. So if you have your Bibles, you know, you can go to Habakkuk chapter 2, and some of you all know the scripture, you know, and I want you to get it. And I'm going to show you how to connect it to a dream killer, okay? Habakkuk chapter number 2. It is an Old Testament book, one of the 12 minor prophets, almost at the end of the Old Testament, Habakkuk, right? Some pronounce it Habakkuk, right? And so it says this in chapter number 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So, and again, for a short topic for the remainder of this particular broadcast, I want to use the subject, the dream killer. Okay, the dream killer.
here, for historians, we have used this scripture entirely wrong, because Habakkuk has done everything that we do in life. There's an issue going on, and Habakkuk is not happy with it because the people responsible for this are not doing it God's way. And Habakkuk's anger is so directed in so many different places that he doesn't capture himself until he gets to, the writer gets him to chapter number two. But in chapter number one, he complains about what people are doing and how they are doing it. And the next thing he does, he complains that God sees it and God is not doing anything. Then he complains that God, why are you not doing anything about this? Because Habakkuk understands how God has set things up. So why is God not doing something when he sees the chaos that's going around us, right? And so it's not God complaining, it's Habakkuk complaining, okay? God is not telling Habakkuk, I got a problem with this. Habakkuk is telling God how much he has a problem with it. Watch it now. As a prophet, Habakkuk has a gift that was given to him, and yet from his own mouth, he is complaining about something that he sees, how people are acting, how they are responding, not in the right way, how God sees this, and how God is not complaining about it. You know, God, what are you doing about this? Why haven't you done something? Now, if that rings a bell, then we all should raise our hand. How many things are going on in this world that you have become a passenger seat driver in this situation, where you have so many complaints, but yet you're not willing to engage this process? You're not willing to be a part of the answer, yet you see what the issue is. And some may, and I'm going to get to the dream killer here in a minute. And so now when Habakkuk does this, he then goes into chapter number two and says, I'm going to stand up on my watch, right? Because he knows now he done crossed the line with God, or he feels like he has. And so upon him feeling that way, he said, now I'm going to sit here for a minute, and I'm going to see how God's going to respond to me, right? And this brings us up to verse number two, where God says, and the Lord answered me. Habakkuk is now saying that God answered him, and he tells him to write the vision. Now, let's get this correct. This is not a vision that God showed him that there was an issue. This is Habakkuk complaining about what was going on, and Habakkuk is complaining like he has the answer for it. Watch it now. And so God tells him to write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he that may run that readeth it. Meaning that I need you to write this down, where what the issues are and how you believe these issues can be fixed. Write this down, right? There is, I know there's somebody listening to me right now that are upset with how present things are happening, be it if it's on your job, in your family, in your church, and I dare to say with you. You know, there are many of you that are listening tonight that have an issue that is going on around you, and you are angry about it or upset about it. Now, some may be saying, well, Lord, it's in your hands. Watch it now. You know, some may be saying that, you know, well, whatever God decides to do is all right with me. Watch it now. You know, and but see, the Lord lets Habakkuk know through his complaining that I need you to write this down, that those who read it are going to run with it, because what you are saying as a fix or an issue is only for an appointed time. That means that if you see this, you have to get moving quickly. Now I'm going to get to the dream killer. Because in this same scripture, they come and they bring into the word, but at the end, it shall speak. Whatever you're seeing, that's all in good. Whatever you see the problem is all in good. But until you write it, it's not going to speak. So can I deal with the dream killer? This three-letter word, B-U-T, but, has introduced itself into our lives that has caused us to live a fake life. I don't want to talk about you. Let me talk about me. Because in my own life, I struggled with my dreams because I often heard people tell me that I had to do certain things in order to make these dreams happen. I had to walk a certain way. I had to believe a certain way in order to make these things happen. I would go here, but I would go back to college, but I would start this business, but I would go into this ministry, but it doesn't matter what comes after that. What you do at that point for the things you say you would do, you've now put your own roadblock in front of you. I can care less about what other people say or think. I'm not even the person to deal with what other people say or think. You know, what the issue is at this point is that three-letter word. I would start this business, but I need to wait until things get better. When are things going to get better? If you see what the problem is and you've complained about it to the fullest, you know, now it's time to put a plan in action. What I love about what God did with Habakkuk, he never gave Habakkuk the answer. He told him to write it. Can I talk about me? I never had the confidence years ago to do the things I'm doing today. But even though I made controversial steps to get there, you know, at the end, the vision that God gave me was going to speak. At the end, people may not have loved or endured or was happy about how I went about doing. They probably didn't understand it like I was presenting it. And God probably never told me, in some cases he never did, it's not a probably, in some cases he never told me to share it, but I did because I felt like I needed to explain myself to the people that I thought meant the most to me. And I discovered later on in life that it wasn't even the people, it was me. Because if someone told me, well, you can't do that now because we're handling this, then I said, well, Lord, I noticed the business you gave me, but I'll do it when this gets better. What God gave me wasn't to change because of what someone told me the present issue or circumstances was. And for those that are so highly religious, God lives beyond your situation and circumstances. And I hear someone saying right now, but God has an order, right? But he never gave that order to you about somebody else's life. He gave that order to you about your life. And if you want to limit yourself and say, watch this other dream killer, I'm waiting on the Lord. If God has already given you permission, why are you waiting on him? Look at these dream killers. You know, Les Brown said something that was interesting. The graveyard is full of dreams that never came to fruition. Because people died and their dreams were encased in the coffin with them. For whatever reason in their life, they never pursued anything. They got stuck. They refused to move. But yet now watch these dream killers in your life. They'll have you commenting on everybody else's life but your own. They'll have you telling people what to do about their life, but you won't take the same advice for your own. I know about that because I used to do that. And nothing bothers me more than someone that has everything to say about someone else's life, but can't seem to get the engine started in their own. Watch this dream killer now. Why do I call it a dream killer? Because but now changed the whole content of what you was getting ready to say. I would start this business, but I would travel to Italy, but I would, go back to school, but. And so all of these things you want to do, you don't do, and you find yourself sitting here frustrated in your own life, watching other people propel in theirs. Point number two, I really don't celebrate other people's accomplishments, right, like people think I ought to. And it's not that I don't think that people have done great things, and I do see the greatness in people and so on and so forth. I don't celebrate other people's victories because it's their, I'm happy for them, but I don't celebrate the victory in their life because I'm still fighting for the one that's in mine. Now, that may sound selfish, but I'm just being real. And the reason why is not that I have something against people or anything of that nature, and I've gotten to a point in my life where I really don't share a whole lot with other people, dealing with the things that I have before me. I really don't share a lot with that because I keep it to myself. But how instrumental can I be to the people that are watching me if I am not pursuing the dream? Now, I didn't say the American dream. If I'm not pursuing the dream that God has laid before me and I'm stuck, I am hindered, I am blocked by my own self with buts, waiting on the Lord, can't figure it out, don't know what to do, and it's really, and I'm really not blaming anybody else, I'm just afraid to really own up to the issue that I'm blocking myself. Because if you have children, you're telling your kids, there's nothing in this world you can't do. That there is nothing in this, and that's the truth. There's nothing in this world you can't do. If you set your mind to it, you can get it done. If you put in the work, and we know in certain areas and certain communities, you're going to have to work extremely hard. You're going to have to work twice as hard as other people. And the longer you wait, the longer you procrastinate, the harder it's going to be to reach that particular sector in your life, right? Now, do I find it as a fault for me that I don't celebrate other people? In some cases, yeah, that's a fault. That's a fault that I don't celebrate other people. But I'm not celebrating them because I'm hating on them. I'm not celebrating them because I'm trying to get to a certain point, and I don't want to lose my focus, pointing my attention and direction towards something else. If I see them in passing, hey, man, good job, great job, and I'm going to keep on going. Right? I'm not going to sit around and continue to hold their hand and stroke them and make them feel good, because at the end of the day, they made it. I haven't. If they want to share some knowledge with me, I'm good to sit down and get that, but at the same token, wherein the vision or the dream that God has given me? Where is that sitting at right now? How do I pursue the very idea that God has given me without putting a stipulation in it? I would do this, but. Three-letter word. The most dangerous word in our vocabulary, you know, and I tell you what's impressive. What is really impressive is the fact that if you see how many times we've used but, and if we never use that word, right, where would we be? Now, I want you to pay close attention to something. And again, I'm only talking about myself. I'm only talking about me. Pay close attention to this. How many times, and I can't count myself, how many times did I see something and I envisioned me being a part of it? I can't count that. I don't know how many times that happened. How many times, well, let me ask you, and you all use a rhetorical question because you can't really answer me directly, but how many times have you envisioned something or you had an answer to a problem and you knew how to fix this or what would be a necessary fix with it, but think about that. I wonder in just one day, and sometimes it's a reality check. Most think it's reality because my finances ain't right. You know, I want to give you an example. A few years ago, and I had the pleasure of talking to this brother. I think it was last Thursday I talked to him. I had the pleasure of talking to this brother, and he had just got out of prison, and he felt like he was wrongly convicted of something, and it wasn't anything he gonna be able to do to change that. And so within him dealing with that particular issue, he didn't have a job, and because he was a convicted felon, nobody would hire him, and so he felt stuck. And I never get it. I asked him, I said, you know, what are you willing to do in order to provide for your family? He said, if I can get a good job, that would be great. But, and then he said, I was convicted of something. I said, so you're a convicted felon. My question to you is, what are you willing to do to, you know, take care of your family? He said, again, I'm a convicted felon. So who would give me a job? Because every time I go and put in an application, they look at that, and then I feel the but. I don't say the but. I say, okay, all right. So maybe it wasn't meant for you to work for somebody. And he looked at me. And I said, how much money do you need right now to help your family go? He said, if I had a good $750, you know, a month, that would be helpful. Now, that was about 12 years ago. And so I said, $750 a month, okay. And so I said, come with me. I walked into this convenience store. I said, how? And I asked the owner. I said, hey, man, how you doing? He said, good. He said, what can I do for you, sir? I said, how much will you pay this man to clean your bathroom during the week? And the guy looked at me. He said, you clean bathrooms? You clean bathrooms? And the guy looked at me. I said, yeah, he cleans bathrooms. He said, I'll do this. If you can clean my bathrooms at this convenience store 4 days a week, I'll give you $100. $100 a week. So, and I said, he'll take it. When I say, he said, man, that's great. I mean, it's $100. He said, but I need at least $700. I said, but that's just one convenience store. So he's going to pay you, really, if you come in here 4 days, paying you $25 a day to come in here and clean the restroom. I said, how many of these can you do in a week? He said, I can do a lot of them. He stood there and looked at me. I said, well, go find them. You know, I said, before you do that, you know, go in there and talk to this guy about cleaning the restroom. And I ran to the brother, you know, some months later. He was cleaning so many restrooms that he only needed $750 to just keep his family head above water. But he was cleaning so many restrooms, he was bringing in 10 grand a month. He never know what that feel like unless he was selling dope. Y'all with me? So last Thursday, you know, I heard from him. He was so excited because he had went from cleaning restrooms to now he has contracts cleaning major buildings. And I thought that that was just wonderful, you know. And I celebrated with him for a moment. He said, you know, when I come down to Florida, you know, we going out to eat. I said, no. You know, you come down to Florida, spend some time with your family, and y'all have a good time together and so on and so forth. He said, I said, because you reached yours. I haven't reached mine yet. And so then he said to me, he said, that anything I can do to repay the favor that you did for me, I said, really, I didn't do anything to have a conversation with somebody. You did the rest. And you went out and talked to the rest of the people. And they were paying you to clean, you know, their bathrooms. And so I'm pretty sure that, you know, you took very good care of that because you did this for a while. And he said, I did. And he said, you know what? I still do that. You know, I still clean those particular bathrooms this very day, except for I found someone that got out of prison. And I gave them the opportunity to do it. I said, then you've already blessed me. Your vision is only for an appointed time. It's time sensitive. I want y'all to hear me. Your dream killer is you. You are your own dream killer. You convince yourself daily not to do what God has given you the gifted ability to do. You are your dream killer. I don't care how many scriptures you quote. I don't care how many times you lay hands upon people or whatnot. The very thing that God has given you to do, you keep telling yourself, I don't have the money. Things need to get better. I don't have the time. I'm in the wrong location. And you say all of these things and you never get close to doing the very thing that's in your dreams. And trust me, we all have dreams. And if you stop dreaming, you're ready to die. We have children and we want to see the best out of them. We want the best out of them. Even if they're grown, we still want to see them do good, do great. If they have children, we want to see them do good and do great. And sometimes people need motivation to do that. And so they need encouragement or whatnot. And we may not be there to encourage them all the time, but we don't want them to destroy themselves. We don't want to create a self-sabotage in our own life. Let's forget about what other people say. I hate hearing about what other people think of what other people say. Because at the end of the day, you control how you think. No one knows what you're thinking unless you tell them. And if you're saying, I would, but you're killing your dream. I'm waiting on the Lord, you're killing your dream. Well, you know, the money ain't right, killing your dream. I've seen so many businesses start without money. I hate listening to people tell me, well, I don't have money to do it. You know, and they haven't even looked into it deep enough to see what it is. They automatically kill it. I don't have the money to do it. You know, sounds good, I just don't have the money to do it. Right? And then we tell ourselves this lie. Everybody is not entrepreneurs, meaning that we're not business owners. Your life is a business, and you run it every day. You know what you need to do to survive. You know what you need to do to eat. You know what you need to do to take care of your expenses. And I've seen people negotiate money in there with the little that they come in. My mom raised us off of $700 a month. Three children. And even though I was gone, she took care of and maintained a household, cleaned people's houses, and didn't make a whole bunch of money. She made do with what she had. And there were moments where I believe my mom didn't eat, and moments where she didn't enjoy the meal because she made sure we had it. Now she's in that prime of her life where she shouldn't have a need or want for anything, you know. And she has ran her business, her house, for years. And it's just the idea of owning a business scares the heck out of us. But we're not afraid to run our own lives. We know if we don't run our lives, if we don't take control of the things that are around us that we have the ability to control, then things are just going to go and happen. We know that. And so we become ingenuitive on how we make our strategic move. And we have to do our dreams the same way. I don't care how old you are. Watch that dream killer. Because your vision, your dream is only for an appointed time. When you allow that vision to be ran with, when you allow that vision to be seen, once it's been written down, at the end, it's going to say something real loud, and it's not going to lie. Though it may wait for a minute, meaning you're going to work for it, but it will surely come. And when it's on the way, it ain't going to wait. Ain't nothing going to stop it. There's no one that can curtail it. There's no one that can reposition it. And it may not be a business. It may be the book you need to write. It may be the city that you need to travel. It may be the service that you need to give people. It may be the understanding that you need to issue out to folks that don't know. But you see the problem, and you have the answer. But you live into a dream killer situation. I can't do that because of this. No, but, you know, I can't do that with people, or I can't talk to people like that. And you talk to people like that every day. It's just you're doing it individually. You can't get in front of folks and do it. I get it. You know, I see all of that. But why kill your dream? Why? Why self-sabotage your own progression in life? Why? You know, I told you my flaws because I'm not perfect. And I don't want to put out there to anybody that I am. I have my issues just like everyone else do. But let me change the content of this thing. I will not give up on my job. Ain't nothing going to stand between me pursuing the very thing that I have a passion for. You know, do it come with tunnel vision sometimes? Sure it does. That's a fault of mine. That's a humanistic fault, you know. Do I overlook some things? Yeah. Do some things not hit me with details? Yeah, it doesn't, you know. I may do a lot of things that are crazy in somebody else's sight, but I am not going to stop pursuing my dream. I don't have a dream, children, because I'm not going to self-sabotage my own life. You know, I believe I have people depending and counting on me not to give up, not to give in. And it may not be my children, but it may be my grandchildren. And if I set up something historically, futuristically for them, it's because I did not give up on me. God has never given up on any of us, and he just hasn't. Everything that we need to have in order to pursue dreams and passions and see visions come to pass in this very day, God has already given to us. I never had a problem believing in God my probable believer is weak. But once I got past that hurdle, and it didn't happen overnight, I'm 56 years old. You know, I'm 56, and I was fighting this battle at the age of 30. 26 years ago, God, you know, and trying to convince everybody around me that was greatness. And people prophesied over my life, don't know what that is, prophesying I was going to preach, that I was going to pastor. I did all those things. I have a passion for people, you know. I have a passion for people, but I don't have patience with something that people do, you know. And so is God dealing with me about my patience? Sure he is. You know, I know he is. He's dealing with me about that. And I'm trying to become more patient and more pragmatic about how I deal with things, you know, in reference to that, you know, because everybody's not the same. And I know everybody is not me. However, everybody has a dream. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't be alive today. There would be no reason for you to live if you did not have the dream. Sometimes we cut our dream short because we battle with insecurities, or we battle with the I don't know, it's the uncertainties in life, and because we want everything to be 1, 2, 3, dress right, dress, we won't make a move. Sometimes the one is there, but we don't see the 2 and the 3. Well, you're number 2, and you have to get in place in order for 3 to get in place. You know, and it's not until God moves you that he finds somebody else that wants to take the number 2 position so number 3 can get in place. You know, sometimes you're number 1 and 2 can't get in place because you won't get in place. And so God has to move you to put another number 1 there so 2 can't get in place. If you get my analogy, your dream is really just not about you. You pursuing your passion and your dream and not letting it die is involving the one that is waiting behind you. Think about that. In all truth and honesty, I can pull out my flaws all day long. Sometimes I split words. I don't use proper English all the time. I might destroy somebody's name. I don't do it intentionally. You know, but the things I am intentional about, I pursue it with a passion. The things I am intentional about, I pursue it with a passion. The things that are standing before me that I need to address and need to walk down this road with it, with its completeness, I do that. You know? Especially if it's something that God has given me to do, I'm going to do it regardless of the things that people say or the issues that I might have. You know, a few years ago, back in 2000, well, actually before then, right around 2008, I was walking up some steps, and as I got hired in the house, as I was walking up the steps to the second floor, I got dizzy and my body started shaking. You know, and so I couldn't walk quickly up the steps like I used to. I had to take my time. It's always when I reached a certain point in the house that when I was walking up those steps that the temperature would change because heat rises to the top, and I would get dizzy, and, you know, and start shaking. I had to sit down on the steps. I didn't know what was going on with me. It almost drove me not to walk up the steps, you know. But I was determined that that thing was not going to keep me from where I needed to go. Now, later on in life, I found out I had vertigo, you know, and ended up taking medication for that or whatnot. And it was a few days ago, me coming up the steps here where I am, that I felt that same feeling hit me again, but I braced myself this time, you know. But I know in order for me to get to my car, I got to go down some steps. In order for me to get into where I live, I got to go up some steps. So I'm going to have to negotiate this thing and not tell myself I can't go up these steps. That's just not an option. You know, I got to fight to get to a perspective in life that even though it seems scary, I'm still going to do it. Don't be your dream killer. Don't let circumstances in life put you in a corner, tie you down, box you in as if you have no recourse, or you have no options, or you don't know what to do. You're a dreamer because God put dreams in you. Young man, young men shall dream dreams. Old men shall see this. And we are men, whether you are a woman or a man. You're a dreamer. You're not old yet. You are a dreamer. Those dreams that you're having, they exist. Some of you may not be having, may not have a dream, or may not think you have one. Let me say that. God has put something in you that will light a spark and a fire. And sometimes you got to get around that very thing that's gonna light that fire. However, you cannot keep telling yourself no. Can't keep telling yourself I would, but you know I can't do this or I can't do that. And as much as you say that, you know those are the words that the devil can use against you. He's not creating the but. He's not creating the however or that you're waiting on God. You're creating that, but he can fortify that but by putting other circumstances or situations in front of you that it will never get good, and that but will still be there. You will never believe that God told you, so you're still waiting on the Lord. You will never go after this because the money still ain't right. You know, you said it. Devil didn't put it there. You put it there, but the devil can use that to fortify his position in your life because he knows that God has put that dream in you. He's put that vision in you. So this is not just about church and giving money and coming into the building and let's praise the Lord. How can you do anything for God when you believe in him, but you don't believe what he's done in you? And this is not for my benefit, but it's for the benefit of the ones that love you, the ones that will see that success in you, the ones that see what you've laid out that they may partake in. Dear hearts, I'm on the verge of encouraging. You know, I don't have people encouraging me. I really don't. I don't have folks telling me, man, I know you can do it, you know, keep working at it. I don't have people telling me that. You know, and I'm not mad at anybody that don't tell me that. You know, I'm not so take things differently, you know. I'm not going to wait for somebody to pat me on my back to tell me to keep going. I can't. I'm in a struggle right now. And mentally, I know where I am, and I'm coming out of it because I'm not going to stay there. And so I have to prove to myself that I can do certain things, and there's nothing stopping me, you know, at all from doing them. So now it's just that opportunity that has presented itself for me to get it done. And as I continue to do it, be consistent at it, then I'll reap the rewards and the benefits behind me. But I have to first engage it, you know. And so I understand there are certain battles out there. The battle is not stronger than you. Battles are meant to be won. Battles are not meant to defeat you. They are meant to make you stronger, to make you understand what endurance is, for you to believe confidently in God and what God has done in your life to be an overcomer. You are a conqueror, not a dream killer. And notice now, I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm not referring to anyone else, because you know how many dreams, well, you may not be able to count them, because I can't count mine, how many times you put a block at your dream. And again, I told you earlier, I don't celebrate people, not the way I should, you know, and that's a fault of mine. And trust me, God is working on me regarding that. I just don't spend a lot of time patting people on the back, because no one ever patted me on the back. You know, I'm having to really tighten up my bootstraps. I'm really having to think my way through processes and pray that God give me the right procedure. Pray that not that he give me the right procedure, but that I hear him correctly and that I follow him in doing this. You know, that I don't end up making a mistake that could cost me money, my livelihood, or my the people that I love, or even my freedom. Everything requires something, and you have to be able to engage that process fully. Don't kill your dream. Don't be a dream killer. Beharsh, I know it probably was a difficult listen tonight. You know, wherever you are, be it in Alaska, we label this as difficult times. But difficult times are meant for people that got difficult schemes, because you can make your way through these difficult times. And trust me, God has given you an answer to every issue and problem that you have in your life. Whether you can answer the issues of other people's situations, he's giving you the answer to that one, because you know it. He's put you through those positions. You've been able to listen to and watch processes and procedures in those particular areas. He didn't send you through that just to send you through it. There's a reason behind every position that you've been in your life. There's a reason behind every job, every opportunity, to this very moment right now. There's a reason for it. And God has purpose behind what he does. So you see issues, you have the answer. Write the vision. Make it plain, that those that may read it will run with it. It's not going to wait. It's time sensitive. And so must you be. Sensitive to the time that you're in. That you not tell yourself, but I won't. Now is not the time. You know, God hasn't showed me what to do yet. Step out on faith. Don't step out on me. Step out on faith. And there you will find everything that God has definitely positioned you in your life. Don't be a dream killer. Don't kill your own dream. If you would, pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, these are your people. And God, I've seen the many responses, questions. I've seen people hang up and come back on. Lord, I just pray, God, that you grab them where they are right now, that you encourage them, that you change the countenance of their look on their face, that you change their positioning of their thoughts. God, that you reorganize how they believe, Father, and not it be churchy, but not just believe in you as being a supreme being, but believe in what you have done in their life. Means something, Father. And God, I bless you, Father. Lord, I thank you for those that tuned in to listen tonight. I thank you for being able to inspire and encourage them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I only have a few seconds left tonight. You all be blessed until next Tuesday. You know, I just encourage you, you know, pursue your passion, pursue your dream. Don't be a dream killer. Amen. God bless.